It has 13 chapters in it. One of John's short epistles. So I'm probably going to read not many of them, but I'm going to read some of them. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the grace that you've shown us. Thank you for your Son that went to that cross and died for our sins, bore our judgment, imputed unto us your righteousness that we can have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now to give us knowledge and wisdom of thy word and spiritual understanding, that we might teach it and preach it the way that you'd have it to be taught. I pray for the people here that their hearts would be conditioned and their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they might see the things that you would have them to see, and that it might strengthen them and help them as the days grow weary and evil in our day. And Father, I pray that they'll get strength from thy word. Everything that's accomplished, we'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, in 2 John, notice in verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. In other words, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, he's trying to peddle something else to you. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as some of the people that do come around your houses and knock on your doors and, you know, and they're passing out their literature. You're not to bid him in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deed. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. And children, and the children of thy elect sister greeteth thee. Amen. Now, I want you to turn with me back to 1 John, and I realize the context. I want you to see what this 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He talks about the Antichrist. These books are doctrinally for the tribulation period. They're not to you as a member of the body of Christ. What I'm going to do, and I want you to understand now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a spiritual application to some of the things in these verses. I'm not teaching you doctrine out of these chapters. The doctrine has to do with people, the nation Israel, the 144,000, the saints that help Israel, that go through the tribulation period. That's doctrinally what these books is about. In other words, look in 1 John and notice in chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love... By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So they having to keep his commandments. In fact, look over with me to Revelation and Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, just to verify who I'm talking about. These people are under the law. They're keeping Christ's commandments. And you'll find them commandments in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And the things which thou I say that the Lord said, you couldn't do anyway. You don't have that power. But they will. And they do. They did. In Acts 2, 3, 4, 5 through there. Peter and them. But you don't. But doctrine, I'm trying to show you the doctrine, then we'll get to the application. And look in Revelation chapter 12, and notice in verse 17. Revelation 12, 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These people in the tribulation are going to keep the commandments. Look over, just turn over to next chapter 14. In chapter 14, notice in verse 12. Chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, the thought just come to my mind. If you were to keep the commandments of God, if I told you to keep the commandments of God, where would you go to find them commandments? If I'd said, and by the way, you do have commandments, you knew that, didn't you? Where do you go to find your commandments? We'll look at that in a moment. Look over with me, turn one more page, look in Revelation 22. Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, verse 13. Last chapter, Revelation 22, 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His, what? Commandments. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city, into the city. They got to keep the commandments to get into the city. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Right? During that time period, they got to keep the commandments. Where would you find your commandments? Well, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and then we'll go back to our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, you think you're spiritual? I do, don't you? Well, you think, I hope you think you are. I mean, you know, that's not pride. That's just acknowledging what you are. Look what he said. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the, what? Commandments of the Lord. Well, where is the commandments of the Lord for us? Things that Paul wrote unto us. What he write unto us? Romans through Philemon. That's where your commandments of the Lord is. You're dead to the commandments of the law. Amen. That was took out of the way, nailed to his cross. That's why God cannot condemn you. Because the law has already condemned you in Christ. The law has already put you to death in Christ, and you were buried with Him, and you're risen with Him, and you have His righteousness now and put to your account. God cannot see any iniquity or any bad in you. That's grace. Now, back into the passage. I want you to notice in 2 John, he talks about the doctrine of Christ. Now, the doctrine of Christ that John's talking about is the acknowledging, back in verse 7, For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh. So the doctrine of Christ in John's time would be that they wouldn't confess. If they confessed that He was the Son of God and that He was their Messiah, that He came into the flesh and on, then that is the doctrine of Christ for that time period. But I want to talk to you about the doctrine of Christ. Just as Paul said, the commandments of the Lord I write, I want you to see the doctrine of Christ today for you. Number one, what is the doctrine of Christ? That God was in Christ. Look with me and let's look at this thing. Turn back to John and look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I believe that God was in Christ. And I believe that God was doing something in Christ where you're concerned. John chapter 14, verse 15 and 16. He says there, now notice the difference here. We're going to look at this thing. Now Paul said, I write unto you the commandment. Jesus said, if ye shall ask anything, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Look back in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen who? The Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And he goes on about greater works, and he says, if you love me, keep my command. What I want you to see in that, God's in Christ. God was in Christ. They're one on this earth. Do you believe that? I do. Look with me in 2 Corinthians 5:19. Look what Paul says about it. 2 Corinthians 5:19. What is the doctrine of Christ today? That God was in Christ. He's God, folks. He is as much God as God Almighty. Now look in 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing. To impute something is to put it to their account. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. How? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. That's our message. That's our commission. The doctrine of Christ. We're to get the doctrine of Christ out. What is the doctrine of Christ for our day? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He's not imputing their sins to their account today. God's not judging this world today. God's not sending any hurricanes or any storms because of sin. God's not letting people have a car wreck because of sin. God's not doing nothing like that today. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God. Man can do what he wants to do. Like I was telling you in Sunday school. Man's free. God's not holding it against him. Why? His Son. God was in Christ on that wall. His Son was paying for the sins. His Son died for the sins of the people. If the world could get a grip on that, that's the preaching of the cross. The doctrine of Christ today is God was in Christ, not imputing their trespasses unto them, reconciling the world unto Himself, removing the separational barrier that separated man from God, his sins, and them sins. Jesus Christ died for those sins, and He was the sacrifice that pleased God and satisfied God. God's not angry today. Isn't that wonderful? So, the drug addict can be saved. The drunk can be saved. You say, when they get saved, will all their problems be gone? Nope. Because God don't do nothing with your flesh. You still got them old man that you got to drag around with you. You know, I think about it a lot, about that old man. It's like we spend more time running errands for the old skeleton that's dragging along, that old dead corpse, and we run errands for him all the time. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Walk in newness of life. The doctrine of Christ today is that God was in Christ, now in His body. You see, one time, as I read back in John, Jesus Christ was on this earth. Jesus Christ walked on this earth. He was born of a virgin. He walked on this earth. He performed miracles. He breathed the air of this earth. He felt the sunshine that He created. He did all that. He walked around in shoe leather. Lived a life for 33 years, and yet God was in Him. And there on the cross, He's reconciling the world unto Himself. But Jesus Christ is gone now. So who's His representatives? It's ambassadors, and it's the body of Christ. God's in the body today. When the body of Christ leaves this building, God's not just sitting around here on the pew waiting, crossing His legs, waiting until next Sunday till we come back. He's not floating around somewhere. Say, well, God's not in the building. If the body of Christ is not in the building, God is not in the building. Say, well, He knows what. Knowing what's in the building and being in the building is two different things. God's in the body today. Look with me and let's try it. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. The Bible says that we're sealed. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. He has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit into our hearts, and we have the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of Christ dwelleth not in you, you're none of His. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in your heart, you've never been saved by the grace of God. For when you trust Christ as your Savior, the first thing that happens is that you get His Spirit and you're sealed. Honor. Ownership. Never to be lost again. I always say that, and then people's eyebrows always go up when I do say it. But I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven whether I want to go or not. And I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And every time I say that, people, y'all don't, because y'all heard it 5 times. Look with me in 1 Timothy. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, the house of God that he's talking about is not this building. You understand? Not the building. The house of God, look what he says the next passage. He said, behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Well, was he manifest in the Christ's flesh? Yeah. God was in Christ. He said, the words that I speak are the Father's. Yeah, he's manifest. God's manifest was manifested in Christ's flesh. Well, whose flesh is he being manifested in today? In the body of Christ, in your flesh that are saved. What he says. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Now when Christ was received up in the glory in Acts chapter 1, where was the Gentiles that he was preached unto and believed on in the world at that time? Not the same time. The receiving up in the glory is the rapture of the church. The receiving up in the glory is when the body's complete and the ministry of the body's over with. Then we're received up in the glory just as Christ went up in the glory in Acts chapter 1. Just as Christ manifested God in the flesh, the body of Christ manifests God in the flesh. Where would you find God today? You'd find it in the body of Christ. Where would you find truth today? It would be in the body of Christ. But the problem is the body of Christ is ignorant of the truth of God. But I tell you something, the body of Christ is not ignorant about. They're not ignorant about how they got in the body. Now they might not realize nothing about that body, but everybody that's in the body of Christ realizes that Jesus Christ died for their sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day for their justification. Everybody that's in the body of Christ realizes that they're in there by the gospel of Christ, by trusting Christ. And people that don't know that are not in the body of Christ. And there's a lot of people that out there that don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in all of what I'm talking to you about. And yet they go to church every Sunday. They eat their wafers. They do all this other stuff. And they say their creeds and they do their programs and all of that mess, all that religious stuff and sing how great thou art and trust in Jesus and all that, and they don't even do it themselves. It's amazing. But people are ignorant. God would have all men to be saved, come under the knowledge of the truth, but the body of Christ today is confused. The body of Christ does not know what they believe, why they believe it. If you don't believe it, you go ask somebody. You saved? Find out what they tell you. Do you know who your apostle is? Find out what they say to you. Do you know what the gospel is? Find out what they say to you. I asked them, I dare you to ask somebody. I dare you to go to somebody that's religious and ask them these questions to them and find out their answer. You'd be surprised. Number two, the truth is in the body. Number two, Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is not just that God was in Christ reconciling the world, but he died for your sins. When I say your sins, I'm saying all of your sins. Now tell me something. When Jesus Christ became sin on the cross, God Almighty poured his wrath out on his son. There his son hung on that cross. And there he died on that cross. He's taken your punishment, your wrath, dying your death, your sins is what these are for. And he became sin, the thing that produces the sin, the rotten nature that you have. He became on that cross. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. His body was laid in a tomb. He went to the heart of the earth down here. And he took your sins. Now I ask you something. Did God forgive them sins when he raised him up from the dead? The wages of sin is death. The payment for these sins is death. Death's up here. Death put him to, killed him. The law's there. He's like the prosecuting attorney. He said he's guilty, and he demands death. So the death comes. Jesus Christ died. God sees you on that cross as he sees his son. You're in his son. So he died. He paid the wage of sin. So he comes up on the next 3 days. He's in there in the heart of the earth. He's resurrected up. Is your sins with him? When he's resurrected, is your sins with him? They're gone. He's a quickening spirit. He told Mary, he said, touch me not, for I've not yet ascended unto the Father. Well, I'll ask you something. Do you confess your sins? Do you get down every night and, Lord, I know I'm sorry, I'm sinned this, I sinned here, I sinned there. Will you please forgive me? 1 John says, I ain't going to quote it, I'll read it to you. 1 John chapter 1:9. But there we are in John again. Who's John for? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess them, he's faithful and just to forgive them. Well, wait a minute, I thought they were all forgiven back here. Folks, I'm telling you, why do they have to confess them? Because their day of atonement and when their sins get took away is over here at the second coming of Christ, and they've got to get through this 7 years tribulation, he that endureth unto the end, to get their sins took away, where Jesus Christ took yours away at the cross. And so they, going through this time period, they can't offer sacrifice. They look back to the sacrifice that the Lamb of God back here, and that's what the book of Hebrews is about, that he was the blood of bulls and goats, could not take away sin, but this man took away their sin, and they confessed their sins looking back to the cross to get forgiveness till they can get over here at the second coming when they're took away for good. But not you. Now I want you to think. You was not an afterthought with God. You were the forethought. God chose us in Him, in Christ, before, let's say this is the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, you were chosen in Christ. God Almighty had to get, so God had a purpose. He had a will. And that will was, he was going to save people by his grace. He was going to have a unique dispensation. He was going to save people by his grace. And he was going to fill the heavens up with people that are saved by his grace. And they would demonstrate for all time and eternity the grace and the glory of God the Father. And so God said, that's who I'm going to save. Those that will hear the gospel, those that will believe the gospel, those that I foreknow that will be saved, then I will predestinate them to be conformed to the image of my Son, and they'll fill the heavens up out there. But he had a problem. But there is no problem with God. Before a problem rises, he knows the answer. The Lord never says, oops. The Lord never says, oh, what did I do? So God knew all. He sees the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning from the end. God has a body of believers, and so he takes a man, Abraham. And you know what he does? Creates a nation. And he calls that nation Israel. And Abraham goes on, has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob, Esau. And that seed comes through that nation. And Jacob's name is Israel. And Israel has how many children? 12 sons. And so the seed's coming through here. And he calls this nation his son in Deuteronomy. He said he begot them. And so he begat them, whatever. And the book of Deuteronomy, and he births that nation. And his son comes through that nation. And he gives them promises, and they're promised of the earth. Blessed is the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth belongs to these people. If they'll continue, and they will get the earth, there is a heavenly seed in here. They get that city, and on the thing goes. But we, God's purpose is to have salvation for you that are in this building right now. And so the son comes into this world. He comes into his own. His own receives him not. And he must die the death of the cross. He becomes obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he gets out there and he says, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine will be done. God's will was the only way that he could save you and me. The only way he could do something about your sins was that them sins had to be paid for. They had to be a perfect sacrifice made for them sins. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away them sins. So God's son said, I'll go. And God promised him eternal life, and he promised eternal life to those that believe on him. And bless your soul, Jesus Christ loved the church, gave himself for the church, died for the church. You're no afterthought, you're the forethought. And the means to get to you, he used Israel, and he gave them parts and promises, and he wrote things for them. And when that body is complete, we're going to be carried out of here into heaven out here, and God will take up his dealings with the nation Israel, and the prophecy program will begin, and then he'll come back and set up his kingdom on this earth. And we're going to rule and reign in the heavens out there. What a man. He had to die for your sins. And God will get the glory for it. People worry. And you know what the religious system does? They beat people over the head and make them feel guilty. And they want them to walk the aisle. Walk the aisle for Jesus. come down here. And oh, now, there is nothing wrong in coming to the altar. There are times when not often, but there are times when I will say give. You know why I do that? Because sometimes I feel like people, if they'll walk, step out, they've swallowed their pride. And that's the biggest thing that keeps people from being saved. You don't have to come down here. God will save you right now where you're sitting if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to get up, do nothing. God will do it while you're sitting there in the pew. Believe that He died for all your sins. Believe that He was your sacrifice. Trust Him as your Savior. Receive Him and what He did for you, and God will save you right now. And nobody will know it till you tell them. But you know, people, it's hard to see themselves in need of a Savior. Proverbs says, man in his ways is clean in his own eyes. You never can see yourself bad. That's the problem. Well, let me just give you a little hint. You are bad. There ain't none of us worth the gunpowder to take and blow us into hell. None of us. You're no good. I'm no good. Your children's no good. My children's no good. My grandchildren. I might have a little problem with that. No, they're no good either. Why? They got a sin nature that they got from their grandpa. And that sin nature is rebellion against God. But I got good news for them. Jesus Christ died for them. If they'll trust Him, they have eternal life. The doctrine of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The doctrine of Christ is the body of Christ. God's in that body on this earth today. That He died for all of our sins. Not just some of them, all of them. You don't need to confess them. He's done forgive them. Now, I get down a lot. When I go to prayer, Lord, I am sorry. And I thank You for dying for me. I thank You for taking care of my sins. And I don't understand how You could save somebody like me. I do. I do say that. And I tell Him I'm sorry. I tell Him that I'm no count. I tell Him I'm no good. He already knows that. It's not for His knowledge. It just makes me feel better to tell Him I'm no good. Sort of gets it off my chest. I want Him to know that I'm no good. The third thing is there's only one way. One mediator. Look in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom. The word ransom is simply He paid the debt that you owed. A ransom for all. To be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, speak truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He said there, He's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And He gave Himself a ransom. I want you to see two passages, and I'm going to close. Look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9, where does the book of Hebrews fit? Well, it's written to who? Don't have to be bright, brilliant to figure that out. It's written to Hebrews. Look in verse 15. And compare the verse. For this cause, he, Christ, is the mediator of what? New Testament. To the Hebrews, he's the mediator of what? New Testament. Paul says he's the mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. See the difference? Look with me about ransom. Turn over and look in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20. All right, in Matthew chapter 20, notice in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for how many? Many? How many did Jesus Christ give his life? He's the mediator who is a ransom for how many? All. People can't see the difference. Many has to do with Israel. New Testament, Israel. The New Covenant, over there, Israel. But in the dispensation of grace, he's the ransom for all. God would have all men to be saved. Look in, there's no need going on. I was going to have you to turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for how many? Many for the remissions of sin. Why, folks, it's all with Paul. It's not many, it's all. He's the mediator. The doctrine of Christ is God was in Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He's the ransom. He paid your debt. He paid the world's debt. The world could be saved if they'll simply believe and receive it. The last two, and I'm just going to mention them. He's the head of the church, the doctrine of Christ. And he's the head of creation, Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and I'll just cover both of them. Folks, now you say, well, what's all this? If there comes people around you that don't have this doctrine, which is the doctrine of Christ, don't listen to them. If they don't believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, if they don't believe that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins, and you're going to be surprised, there's people that believe that, let's say here you're born, here's when you trust Christ. All these sins is paid for by the cross. And then from here, this is where you're going to die. These sins, you've got to what? Confess to get forgiveness. That's not the doctrine of Christ. But there are multitudes that believe that. And then there's one mediator. Why, folks? Do you know who the second largest denomination says their mediator is? Mary. Mary is their mediator. A female in heaven. Fascinating. Do you know who a lot of people think? Their preachers become their mediator. And if there's somebody that don't believe that Christ is the head of the body, Don't pay no attention. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Notice in verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Then he's the head of creation. There, our schools is filled with professors that believe in evolution. I was thinking about evolution. I don't believe Darwin started evolution. I believe it come back from the beginning. I believe the God of this world, that's his doctrine. I believe that somewhere in time past, God told him his created. And I can see Satan tell God, I wasn't created. I evolved just like you. And I'm still evolving. I believe Satan is the supreme evolutionist. You think about this world. You think about, I'm 63 years old. I've made 63 laps around the sun. What a ride. That sun, if it was just a little further away, what would happen to you? You'd freeze. If it was a little closer, burn you up. But it's there at the right place. And everything is moving where you set your time by it. Now your watch might get slow, battery or whatever, but that never stops. And you telling me that it just happened? It takes more faith to be an evolutionist than it does to believe the Bible. No wonder God said, only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's the head of the church. He's the head of creation. Look in verse, he said there in verse 16, everything was made by him. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Christ, the doctrine of Christ for us today, these truths are found, should be found in the church. And if somebody come and they're preaching some other thing other than the doctrine of Christ that Paul brought out, pay no attention to it. File it in trash can. Put it away. Say, well, my science, throw him in there too. Not literally. You'll go to jail. Don't want that. Isn't he a great God, folks? I praise the Lord for the grace of God. Everything you have, everything you hope to have, your children, your family, your loved ones, your life, your health, you owe it to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't have nothing without Him. Let's bow our heads. Father, once again, we thank you again for all that you've done. Thank you for each one that's come here today. We pray that it wouldn't be born to them, and we ask you, Lord, to bless them, and we do thank you for sending them, and I praise God for them. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's lost, may they be saved today. May they right now simply just trust in what you did for them. Everything is accomplished, we'll give you the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're at liberty to go.